And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Gravely zero-turn lawnmowers and window work.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And he pops this one up into left field. Verdugo there. And in to make the catch, and the Red Sox win it. They take game one from Toronto. 4-2, the final score. Eduardo Rodriguez picks up the win. Boy, is Matt Barnes one confident closer.
It is. His fastball is talking, and he's throwing it. Painting.
Julian, I'm going to repeat myself, right? We just have a good baseball team. Very balanced. We made some good plays defensively today. We put good at bats. Seems like, you know, we just finished games, right? From the first pitch all the way to the end. Communication, making adjustments, taking advantage of situations. And that's a good baseball team right there. You know, they made it to the playoffs last year. And they got some good pitch. They got good pitching, good stuff out of the bullpen. They got some dynamic players. And to be able to get the first game out of in this series is big.
Red Sox win again, Jim Murray. Red Sox win again, 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. And we'll take your phone calls right up until 7 o'clock. Full hour show tonight. I got a bunch of things I want to get to, though. Okay, Jim Murray's alongside, as is Jimmy Stewart, our producer. And again, we'll open up the phone lines as soon as we can. Resetting from the Felger and Maz show. But 617-779-0985. Here's where I want to start tonight. And I want to get to some big picture stuff, some more immediate stuff like the win last night, the performance of Eduardo Rodriguez. Also later in the program, I want to touch on something that happened in another game last night that I think is worthy of mention around Major League Baseball. But we're going to begin here. Okay, we're going to begin here because it's a bigger picture topic that relates to Major League Baseball in general, the Red Sox in particular, and the goings-on across the pond, as we like to say, with Liverpool and owner John Henry. In the event that you have missed it somehow, the biggest story globally in sports over the last couple of days has been this complete fiasco in European soccer. And I'll give you the short version of the story, but there was an event out there called the Champions League every year. Many of you who are soccer fans know it, where it is a tournament of the best teams in Europe from different countries who all meet in a season-long tournament to determine who the best team in Europe is. Some of the bigger clubs involved in that put together a plan to create their own Super League, in which the richest, most powerful clubs in Europe would have their own tournament, thumb their noses at everybody else, and it caused a complete outrage, a complete uproar. And in the middle of it was John Henry, the owner of the Red Sox and the owner of Liverpool. Now, look, I feel compelled to share with you some background just so you know where I'm coming on this. Okay. Over the years, at the beginning in particular, I got along with Henry very well. Somewhere along the line in there, they didn't particularly care for me anymore, and I would say overall it has reached a point where I'd say, you know, there isn't much of a relationship there at all, frankly. I'm just trying to disclose all this so you know where I stand and where I'm coming from. I don't hate John Henry. I don't hate the Red Sox. And I suspect, however, that they don't particularly care for me, and I don't think that I can blame them. But that said, the people in Liverpool want to get rid of John Henry, Murray. They want to get rid of him. They want him out. They want him out as owner. And John Henry has done for that Liverpool organization over there what he did for the Red Sox here. That Liverpool team, in fact, the comparisons are really kind of similar. That Liverpool team was a loser franchise with a good history that had somehow ended up going the wrong way, had been outdone by bigger, more powerful franchises like Manchester United. And Henry then built them into a winner, and they won a championship. In theory, he should be celebrated over there, and he is vilified at the moment. And so Jimmy Stewart, or Billy Lanny back there, we have that. Henry actually released a video to the fans of Liverpool that I think we should play just so you can understand the severity of the situation over there involving Henry and his fan base. Okay, Henry had to release a video, a personal statement, to the fans of Liverpool because the outrage over there is so great that he had to try to soothe the fan base, for lack of a better word. So, Jimmy, let's play it.
I want to apologize to all the fan supporters of Liverpool Football Club for the disruption I caused over the past 48 hours. It goes without saying, but should be said, that the project put forward was never going to stand without the support of the fans. No one ever thought differently in England. Over these 48 hours, you were very clear that it would not stand. We heard you. I heard you. In this endeavor, I've let you down. Again, I'm sorry, and I alone am responsible for the unnecessary negativity brought forward over the past couple of days. It's something I won't forget and shows the power the fans have today and will rightly continue to have. If there's one thing this horrible pandemic has clearly shown, it's how crucial fans are to our sport and to every sport. It's shown in every empty stadium. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so again, that's from John Henry to the fans of Liverpool. And it did lead me to this question tonight as we begin the show. As a Red Sox fan, given the ups and downs, not only of recent years, but really of the entire 20 years, there have been some really high highs and some really low lows under John Henry. Many of you have called and said to me, they got to get rid of the owner. The owner's got to sell. The owner's got to go. Many of you have said that. And frankly, surprisingly so, if you ask me. But that's what your sentiment is. So I'll ask you today, given everything we know now, the 20 years, where the Red Sox are today, 12-6 at the moment, but coming off what was a horrendous 2020. They look like they're on the way back up. But again, last year was as bad as last year might have been the low point. The nadir of the John Henry era, if that's what you want to call it. Do you still want him as owner of a team or not? That's really what I would like to know first and foremost from the fan base. And for those of you who have stopped watching, and there are many of you, which this relates to a bigger issue ongoing in Major League Baseball as a whole. But again, we tend to view things here through the prism purely of the Red Sox experience because we are New Englanders, we are Red Sox followers, and we're as provincial as they come. That's just the way it goes here. So, have you stopped watching because of the owner? How many people have said that to me, Murray, here over the last couple of years? I'm not going to watch till they sell. Have you? Because I hear it all the time from people. Have you?
Yeah, I think one of them is coming in right after this show, and that would be Adam Jones. I mean, he keeps an eye on it because occasionally I'll have to bring him up when he's doing his show with Arcan Nightly, but I know he's one of these people. He truly despises the ownership, starting with John Henry, and he won't care about the Red Sox until they sell the team. And I think that there are. I don't think it's a large swath of the fan base or swath of the fan base that feels this way, but there definitely are people that have just said, F this team, as long as John Henry and this ownership group still have them.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you, and I'll give you this statement, and then those of you who want to respond, you can call in. I would really love your sentiments on the John Henry era. Because he's front and center in the news right now globally, again, not just here, and really not just in England, but globally. Massive story for those people who have followed it. I look at the Red Sox experience here in the last 20 years, and I've been frustrated by it from time to time. And again, I don't think they think much of me over there. Not that I can blame them. The only thing I can tell them is, you know, I don't have any personal distaste for them. I really don't. But I think if you want new ownership with this team, those of you that want to get rid of the owner, oh, I would tell you, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. Don't be a moron. So it's been unpleasant at times. It is. It's going to be unpleasant. And I'm not telling you they're perfect owners because they're not. But you know what they do that other owners didn't for the longest time in the history of the franchise? They spend. They spend. They put a lot of money back into the product on the field, sometimes for the wrong reasons. But at least they spent it. Anyone who remembers what it was like, and I'm not talking about the final years of the Yawkey Trust, where they started spending on the team to increase the value and get into households on Nesson so that they could sell it for more. That was the only impetus at that time. The only impetus for them to put money in the payroll, if you want to go back 20 years, was to increase the value of the franchise so they could sell it for more. Prior to that, the Red Sox were at best a mid-market team. They should have been a big market team, but they spent like a mid-market team. They were a mom-and-pop minor league operation. So again, if you don't like the John Henry era, I don't blame you. You're entitled to your opinion. There have been a lot of last place finishes in there and some up and downs that are inexcusable. But if you want to get rid of them, oh, be careful. I'll take this ownership with all the bad because of the good. The prior years, the Yawkey years, you didn't win a blasted freaking thing. So be careful what you wish for. Bob's in Needham's going to kick us off. Jimmy, I've frozen up. Bob's on line one. If you could pump him up, please.
Matt, I'm glad you prefaced it. You just took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, until the last few years, Duquette, when he came in, he did spend. He had Pedro, he had Manny, he had Johnny Damon. You're right. They were horrible up until maybe 96, and then, you know, he
later. No, it was later.
Yeah, towards the end. No, and John Henry bought it in 2002, but you're right. The last 5 years, they finally put some money into the product. They finally did change their ways. And as far as Henry goes, I'm a no, but not a hard no, because I think, you know, the guy that bought the Mets car, he's been a lifelong Mets. I'd rather have someone. Isn't there anyone around here that actually has the money to buy the team that actually grew up liking the Red Sox? Because you know that Henry has no emotional attachment to this team. It was an investment for him. You know what I'm saying? He did. You know, I wish we could get somebody with deep pockets that would actually, you know, the way that, you know, stand like Henry does, but at least be more emotionally invested in the ball club, because I don't think he cares. I mean, I know it's an investment for him, but you really think he cares one way or the other? It's a bottom line.
Okay, so Bob, I love this one too. And look, at the end of the day, Jimmy, if we could drop him, please. I like the idea in theory of a local owner too. And frankly, I think this one gets a little overplayed here. So again, everybody wants the local owner. We want the guy who grew up in Quincy or on the South Shore or on the North Shore. Yeah, I know that guy. Because everybody knows him, and somehow you feel more comfortable with that. And again, I get that. I get that. There's something endearing about that, and maybe you trust the person more. Maybe you do. Hasn't he done pretty much everything he was supposed to do as an owner? Hasn't he really done that? And look, I'm not sitting here to tell you to defend John Henry. I'm just telling you, at the end of the day, if the owner puts money into the team, why do you care where he's from?
Because for a lot of times, and I think a lot of people despise the guy Maz because of the many tone-deaf responses to issues with this team, and many of them going back to like 2012 and then buy a brick and that kind of thing. And I know that's not all him, but it's the group as a whole. But, you know, he's front and center. You know, that's who people immediately think of when you think of the Red Sox owners. And, you know, with this and everything going on with this Liverpool thing, like, I think it proves that he's one of these bloodless venture capitalist types that, and, you know, and he also has come off like he wants you to think he's like one of the good ones. So I don't know. He's just disingenuous, and people around here, especially in this corner of the country, people don't like disingenuous pukes. And I think that's what he comes off as a lot of times.
Yeah. I just think sometimes that people get their wires crossed here, Murray. That's all. Okay. I like local ownership too, because I do think there's an emotional attachment that serves the fan base.
Oh, I don't need it to be a local owner, but I will say, like, for me, like, I ultimately just want to be entertained. And so far with the team, I think they're entertaining. And so I just compartmentalize. I focus on the product and the field. But I can also enjoy John Henry getting embarrassed on a national stage because of the Super League story. Like, I'm with Jones. Like, I'm no fan of him and the ownership group. But I still want to be interested in the team. And so far, so good. So, again, I compartmentalize. I focus on the team. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, so here's all I'm telling you. I don't watch or not watch a team because of the owner. I never will.
Oh, me either. Yeah, I ultimately, it doesn't bother me that much.
Okay, so, but there are people that react so strongly to this particular part of it. And I would tell you, John Harrington, who was the caretaker of the Yawkey Trust, okay, so effectively acted as owner for a long period of time. John Harrington was a Boston guy. And I would say that the Red Sox made the same kind of mistakes then that they did in the John Henry era. It just wasn't as capitalistic. So what? That's the part that's the part that people don't like. I'm just telling you, be careful what you wish for as a Red Sox fan. Because when they brought in this ownership, you know what I thought you were going to get? I thought you were going to get the San Diego Padres and back then the Florida Marlins. Henry was a part owner of the Florida Marlins, and Tom Werner and Larry Lucchino were coming from the Padres. Those teams operated like small market clubs, and I didn't like that. I was afraid of that. Boy, did I get that wrong. Now, again, there are negatives that come along with that. So I want the guy who's emotionally invested too, and that's a fair criticism of Henry. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's purely a businessman. But at the end of the day, I want money in the roster. I want money in the roster. That's what I want. I'll take all the other bullcrap that goes along with it. 617-779-0985. We'll get some baseball topics, too, in the next segment. We'll take your phone calls on this, certainly. And then some other stuff later in the hour on Xander Bogaerts and a big play that I saw in Major League Baseball last night that I thought was revealing and, frankly, refreshing. All coming up this hour and on the Baseball Hour.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was a good pitching effort. You know, Eduardo was fantastic. Attacking the zone, that's something we really liked. Trying to get deep into the game and giving us a chance to maneuver the bullpen. His stuff is that good. We have to give him credit. His stuff is that good. You know, evolving into, you know, one of the best lefties in the league.
Alex Cora last night and Eduardo Rodriguez. We'll get right back to your phone calls here in 1 second. But he says they're one of the best left-handers in the league. Do you guys agree with that, Jimmy Stewart, Jim Murray? Do you guys agree that Eduardo Rodriguez is one of the best left-handers in the league? And I'll tell you what, I'm going to modify the statement. One of the best pitchers in the league. True or false?
One of the best pitchers in the league? No, I think that's false.
Jimmy Stu?
Best pitcher in the league, no. Best left-hander, yes.
Okay, so again, one of. And I started to look at this. What if Cora's right? Do you guys know that since the start of 2019, and again, Eduardo Rodriguez missed the whole year last year, there's only one guy in all of baseball that has a higher winning percentage than Eduardo Rodriguez does. And last time I checked, winning was the reason we played. And that's Walker Buehler of the Dodgers. That's it. Eduardo Rodriguez is 22-6 in his last 37 starts. The Red Sox are 3-0 when he pitches last year, and I'm mentioning this quickly just for this reason. Last night was a good win. Hyunjin Ryu, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, but Ryu for the Blue Jays, formerly of the Dodgers, he's having a great year. He comes in here, gives up a 3-run home run to Xander Bogaerts to change the game. The Red Sox win 4-2. So Rodriguez outduels a guy who might also be one of the best left-handers in the league. No small thing there. And the other thing that I took note of just as I look across the landscape, the American League blows this year. It blows. It really does. It sucks. And I should have paid more attention to this, and I didn't. The Astros have issues. The Yankees have issues. The Red Sox have a chance if they can keep this up. They have a chance. The league blows.
Yeah, I guess I just don't immediately think of him as one of the best pitchers in the game because I just always go with guys that might be on crap teams like DeGrom and the Mets.
Sure.
Or snake bit with like bad offenses. Because I think with someone like him or Cole with the Yankees, Bauer with the Dodgers, I mean, that's a good team. But like guys like that, you might expect something really special to happen. And they're more household names. But no, he's been good, solid. But one of the best, my immediate gut reaction is no.
Murray, I'm with you. I tend to think with you. I would never call him one of the best pitchers in the league.
He was good last night.
All those other guys you mentioned all have better stuff.
Yeah.
But since the start of 2019, boy, he's won a lot. He has won a lot. And with a good lineup around him, which he's going to have, he's going to win a lot more if he stays healthy. Back to John Henry. James is in Draco. Go ahead, James.
Hey, how are you, Tony? I just wanted to say that I'm kind of indifferent about the ownership. You know, I don't think most people don't really care, you know, but I was a little pissed off what he did to Tito and how he ran Tito out of town and all that stuff with, you know. But I watched the watch. I didn't watch last year because they sucked, but I wouldn't mind watching this year because they're definitely on a run.
Okay, so look, James, the smear campaign on Terry Francona, and that goes all the way back to the end of 2011. You're not alone there. That was in fact, I would go so far as to say that was the line of demarcation that really swung the fan base against this ownership.
Without question.
Okay, up to that point, yeah, it was love-hate a little bit, but I would say no different than any other ownership group. There's always some resentment towards ownership. But that thing with Francona, that hurt them badly.
We smeared Tito.
Sean is in Essex. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, quick thought on John Henry, and Murray might be able to identify with this. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a milder version of Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Even when he tries to do good, he does bad.
Well, it feels forced, right?
Right.
So again, but Sean, does that affect your opinion of the team in any way?
You know, I love the idea they're winning. I love the idea that they've won under the ownership. I mean, we can go back and look at ownership throughout Boston, the Hayward Sullivans and the Yawkeys back at, you know, which there, I mean, there's a huge history that you guys talked about.
Yeah, so Sean, look, here's what I tell you. First of all, I think fans are wary of every ownership group, including the Crafts and including the Celtics. And I say both of those teams because they're local ownership. Wick Grauspeck is from here, as is Robert Kraft. Now, maybe there's less so than there is with someone like John Henry or Jeremy Jacobs. And certainly the Jacobs took their share of heat over the years, too. Ever since the NHL, how many people do you hear bitch about Bruins ownership anymore?
Well, Mike and Woburn.
Okay, so Mike and Woburn, but not like it was years ago.
Well,
Murray.
No, yeah, it's not how it used
right?
to be.
And you know why? Because they spend. So this group spends. Henry spends. There's no issue with the spending here. And yet, I would argue they are easily the least popular ownership group in town. I don't think there's any question. They're less popular than Jeremy Jacobs, which should tell you something, because Jacobs owned that title for a long time. Rich is in Millbury. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, yeah, just talking about John Henry. Hey, in the last 17 years, we won 4 World Series. Has any other team won that many in the last 17 years?
Okay, so you're in favor of the ownership group, Rich?
4 World Series in 17 years. Okay, I don't think anyone else has done that.
Okay, so you're a bottom line guy. Again, it hasn't been perfect, though. Don't delude yourself. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's been perfect either. The last call that brought up the Terry Francona smear campaign, that was a good one. That was ugly. And Jimmy Stewart, if I'm not mistaken, that's really what triggered Henry's trip into the studio here.
We didn't fire him.
Right? I mean, that's what triggered the whole thing.
Yeah, your personal attack on him and his 3 wives.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think they liked that comment. I think that might have had something to do with it.
I was trying to book him too.
I don't want to take the comment.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, there was a line in the story back then, Murray.
If you want to get personal, then Jimmy, let's go find John Henry's first 3 wives, because his current one is half his age. Let's book them. 15 minutes later, here comes John Henry.
So that, well, it wasn't quite 15 minutes. It might have been a few days.
Might have been 10.
But it was something like that, Murray, where there were reports of Francona going through a divorce, and I thought that was kind of low. Not to mention the addiction to pills and everything else, or the alleged addiction.
Oh, I remember that. I mean, that was a brutal story.
Okay.
It was like underhanded.
So I said, if we're going to start talking about people's marriages, let's start talking about, you know, the multiple wives of the owner. We've asked for you to appear in this program.
I
don't know whether those get relayed to you or not, but we have asked.
No, I wonder why they don't relay them. So probably because they must listen to the show.
I like it.
That's a good comeback. Yeah, Andy's in the car. Andy, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got no real problem with the ownership group. Like they said, like they've won a whole bunch. They've had their lows, but if John Henry ends up selling out the team, and now that LeBron's kind of bought up part of it with his group too, do you see him buying up the whole group? And where the hell would that go?
Okay, so I don't know. I haven't delved into that. And Sam Kennedy came out recently and said Henry has no intention of selling the team. Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox president. And I don't. If Henry did have intentions of selling the team, I'm not sure he would share it. But I do find it comical now that all these people call and tell me they can't stand the owner. Now the
Larry
Red Sox,
Lucchino runs the Red Sox.
Now the Red Sox are winning, and you're all saying you're okay with the owner again. So, I want to hear from the people who hate the owner. Phil's in Waltham. Phil, go.
We have a local owner. His name's Bob Kraft. He's won. I'd like to think that John Henry's done pretty damn good, with all due respect. I mean, again, the guy stole my thunder with the championships. Do you think he had any play in the Cora deal? Getting him back, having him sit the year out, getting him back?
So, Phil,
maybe
you're in
so
you're in favor of Henry. You like Henry?
Of course. I mean, are you kidding me? Let's get somebody else? That's just stupid. It's dumb. Stupid.
Okay, so Murray, I'll tell you what. I'm starting to think people are getting influenced by the fact that the Red Sox are playing well again.
Yeah, what does Chris Gasper always say? Winning is the best deodorant, right? So it does make you forget about any issues you might have with them, because the team looks pretty damn good right now.
So look, and again, at the end of the day, I think as a fan, and maybe this is really the ultimate question, what do you want from your ownership group? You want him to be from here? Is that what you want? Is that the most important thing? Or do you want him to invest in the club? What's the most important thing for you? I know what the most important thing for me is. Your wallet. The owner's wallet. And by the way, that's the most important thing from you that he also wants, is your wallet. So the question is, how does he get that and how do you give it to him in a way that everyone's happy? And you know what that is? He takes the money out of your wallet and at least puts some of it back in the team so that you have a representative product on the field. Because whenever people bitch about ticket prices, you know what they're really bitching about? And by the way, you have a right to bitch about ticket prices. I'm not saying you don't. Okay, I'm spoiled in that regard. But you know what you're really bitching about? The value of the ticket. You'll spend on a good ticket if it's a good product, but you won't spend on a ticket if it's a bad product. So what, if the owner's going to invest in the team, he's got to give you a good product. That I'm with you on. And I would say there were a number of years here. The idea of the Red Sox finishing last, inexcusable. Inexcusable. I will never let them off the hook for that, charging what they charge for tickets and anything else over there, whether it's bricks or panda poo or whatever it is that you want to buy at the souvenir stand. If the product is good, charge me for whatever you want. If the product sucks, don't. And so, I, again, put the money in the product, give me a representative team, and I can deal with the rest of it. If the team sucks, that's a problem. So far, so good this year. And again, I want to get back more to the American League because I do think there's something to talk about there. Murray's Get Your Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Whether it's happening on the field or off, Mass is talking about it.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
The Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox have two hits in an inning for the first time tonight against the lefty. High fly ball. That one deep to left. Up there it goes. It is gone. That's a three-run shot. First home run of the season for Xander. And the Sox grab the lead 3-1.
Yeah, that's what I said. Just slap it to right field. He gets a ball in. He just did not have enough on this ball. First home run of the season. Three-run Johnson for bogey.
First one of the year for Xander Bogaerts. Murray, I heard you and Gasper talking about this over the weekend. Chris Gasper said, does Bogaerts have a home run yet this year?
Yeah, I was confused. I thought he had one in the Tampa series, but clearly he did not.
You know what? In the Tampa series, Murray hit one off the top of the bullpen wall.
That's what it was. Yeah,
that's why you think that, because he did. He hit a bomb to right center that hit the top of the bullpen wall and didn't go out, but it was a smash. And so this was first home run of the year last night. True or false, Murray, Xander Bogaerts is in the top 10 in the American League in batting.
Overall, yeah.
He's number one. 390.
I didn't think it was that high. Jesus.
393 is Xander Bogaerts' batting average through the first, what is that, 18 games?
Yeah.
393.
I think he's got a shot at 406, Matt.
Okay, so I'm not going that far. I will tell you, with Bogaerts, I want the power. I think what separates him from other people at that position is power.
Well, so, and he started to show it 2-3 years ago?
Yes. Yeah, he did, Murray. And I'll tell you, I think it was 2018 where he really started to break out. And so, you know, there was a big change there, and I think Cora had a lot to do with that. And so he's only got eight extra base hits. For a guy who's hitting 393, seven doubles and one homer. It's early, and he doesn't often hit for power early in the year, if I remember right. So we'll see how it goes. But I do want the power from Bogaerts. I'll take, you know, 290 with 30 homers or something close to it over 393 with one homer from Bogaerts. From Bogaerts, I will. Paulie's in a car. What do you got, Paulie?
Yeah, hi, Maz. I'm a 23-year-old teammate. Red Sox are my favorite team. They have been forever. But I absolutely hate John Henry's managing style. Love the results. But the dude wins all the time. And then when they win, suddenly he's the smartest guy in the room and fires everybody who disagrees with him. Then, when they start to lose, shockingly, he fires everybody again and completely changes his management style, and then he's the smartest guy in the room again. He's
okay.
Like Steinbrenner.
So I'll tell you what, that's not a bad way to look at it. Do you want him to sell the team?
I mean, I'd like him to take a step back and let the actual baseball people figure it out, not sign another Pablo Sandoval because he can sell more T-shirts and whatnot.
Okay, so again, and this, you know, the Steinbrenner thing is a loose comparison, but it's not horrible. Steinbrenner meddled a lot. But at the end of the day, wouldn't you want an owner like George Steinbrenner? George cared. George was really invested in the Yankees. I'm not sure Henry's as emotionally invested in the Red Sox, and I do think that they've had, they've had a hard time adhering to a philosophy over there.
Yeah, but you want them to also stay out of the way. So, yes, while you want passion and you want them to care and you want them to spend, like Steinbrenner, I'm still old enough to remember even, you know, some of that stuff that went on in the 80s. Like, he tried to make it more about him than it was the team. He was the Yankees, and it shouldn't be that way.
Totally right, Murray. There's a happy medium in there. There's a fine line. You can spend the money and stay out of the way.
It's like Jerry Jones. Cowboys fans must want to, like, throw themselves down a flight of stairs. You don't want a guy like that.
Absolutely right. There is a happy medium there, and that's ultimately what we want. So what I'm saying is the criticism of Henry in that group, all fair. Comes with the territory. But if you had to say as a fan, yes or no, do you want them or not? I'm a yes. And by the way, that doesn't make me right. I'm just telling you, I'm a yes. Bill's in Dedham. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, so I'm calling about the Red Sox this year. I think, like yourself, expecting them to be about 500 and whatever. The thing I'm most excited for is, you know, even still, if they miss the playoffs or if they make the wild card, I'm excited for the future because they got some good young prospects coming up. They're going to have some money to spend. Hopefully, there'll be a better free agency next year, and maybe they can get, like, a power hit in outfield. But I'm really looking forward to the future because I thought maybe we were about 2 years away from them contending, maybe even 3 years. So this is expediting it. I want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, so look, Bill, maybe they're a little closer than we thought. That would be a good thing, right? And again, Jeter Downs might be coming soon by the end of the year. Maybe you see Jaron Duran. Connor Wong, I think, just got had a good spring, by the way. He's another guy they got in the Betts deal. And the big thing is the pitching. Rodriguez is still young. He's pitching well right now. Garrett Whitlock is a find. They got something there with that kid, and I felt that way from the very beginning when I saw him in spring training. So that part of it you should be excited about. But again, you said something there. They'll have some money to spend. So, like, now we take it for granted, right? And I'm telling you, that's okay. It wasn't always that way here. The Red Sox going into the free agent market to fix their problems, that did not used to exist. Tim's in Reading. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm calling you. I love the Sox. Again, winning the championships is great, but John Henry is so disingenuous. That ownership group is so disingenuous. Like, again, it's great that they're spending money, great that they're able to do some of these things, but at the same time, I can't stand them.
Okay, so listen, Tim, you don't have to like him, and I don't play. You can hate him all you want. Do you want him to sell the team?
That's a question I've been going back and forth with. A part of me says yes, part of me says no.
Tim, do you need to like the owner?
No, I don't have to.
Okay, I don't either. I don't either. It would be nice. And again, I don't hate John Henry. I really don't. You know, I one of these days I'll let it all out. Okay? I didn't love the way they did business at the beginning here for a lot of reasons. Frankly, I thought they were in bed with the Globe. And I thought they kissed the Globe's ass, and I worked for the Herald at the time. And it bugged the crap out of me, and I was in my 30s, and I probably didn't react well to it. Not probably, I didn't. So that's my fault, and I'll take accountability and responsibility for that. I can say that now. At the time, I was too immature, or maybe I still am, but I was too immature to own up to it.
But Tony, you were right, because they ultimately bought the paper.
Okay, so, but I just felt like the thing with the Red Sox and the Globe at the time was really kind of grating on me. I think they came in with a clear intention of kissing the Globe's ass because they were the bigger, more established paper in town. Lucchino and Shaughnessy had a relationship, and it bugged the crap out of me. So I had a little bit of a stick up my backside for it, and when they screwed up, I was ready to drill them for it.
Good for you.
Okay? So, you know, and again, that's on me. I've gotten over it. I don't know if they have, but I have, and if they haven't gotten over it, I can't say I blame them for it. It took me a long time to figure out why I didn't like them at the beginning, and that's why. Okay, because I was 30-something and young and stupid and unfair. I don't know. Maybe I was better at my job then than I am now. I don't know.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.